holding your tests on with Aleph, the fourth line. We were discussing Machloikas Tanoim on the question, when the Nazir becomes Tomei, and then he becomes Tahir, when do we say that he has to bring, when did we say that he has to bring separate korbanos for each truma, and when do we say that one set of korbanos covers all of them? So we had a multi-way machloikas on this. First of all, we had Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda saying that it doesn't even matter, you don't even have to have brought your korbanos, you could already start counting the Naziros on the seventh day of Tahara. We had Rebbe arguing with that and saying that you can only start on the eighth day, but you don't have to have brought any of your korbanos yet. Then we had Rebbe Eliezer apparently saying the same thing. Then we said the Chachamim saying the key thing is when he brings his chatas, if he became Tomei again before he brought his chatas, then he doesn't need separate sets of korbanos. One set will cover the new Tumah as well as the old one. And Rabbi Shmuel, Bnei Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon ben Breuka had said that the Osham is also ma'akiv, that in other words, until he's brought all his korbanos, Ola, Chatas, and Osham, then he can still, he can't start recounting his Naziris yet, but it also means, therefore, that if he becomes Tomei, then he doesn't have to bring a new set of korbanos. So we were focusing on this machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel, where each of them is getting their opinion from. Why are the Chachamim saying that the Chatos is the key thing, and why is Rabbi Shmuel saying that the Oshem is the key thing? One thing we mention in that connection is, now one of the korbanos that a Nazir Tomei brings is an Ola. What we said, so Rabbi Shmuel said, you have a pasuk teaching us that the Ola is not, that the Ola is not ma'akir. The Chacham say you don't need that because the Ola is anyway durden ba'alma. It's a present it's a present that you bring to Hashem. It's not really, it is part of the korbanos and Nazir Tomei has to bring, of course, but it's not something essential to the, it's not something for the kapara like the chatas and the Hashem. So the Gemara says, your Tetzel Mar'ala, fourth line, man tana laha the tana rabbanon, who is the tana of the following b'raisa, isha shenodra ben nazir, if a woman made a married woman made a neder of nazirus, and as we learned in Nedarim extensively, her husband can be made for that neder, v'nitma, then she becomes tomei, her husband had not yet heard the neder, and he had not yet heard the neder, and as we learned in Nedarim, the clock doesn't start ticking until he does, so she became tomei, v'achata chefa labayla, only then did her husband hear about the neder, and then he was made for it. So the Braisa says, we have this Braisa actually in the Dorim as well. Mevia chata sa'oif, ve'en mevia oila sa'oif. She brings a chata sa'oif, but now remember, the a Nazir Tomei is supposed to bring three korbanos. They bring two. The Nazir Tomei brings an oila and a chatas, which are two birds, one for an oila, one for a chatas, and then they bring a sheep for a shlong, for an osh. So the Braisa is saying she brings the chata sa'oif in this case after her husband was made for her, the enim of your ola sa'oif, but she doesn't bring the ola sa'oif. Now, which Tana, and now we're going to explain, the Gemara is going to go on to explain why that should be so, why is she bringing the chatas and not the ola? But first, the question is, who would be the author of that Braisa? Amar Rav Chista, Rav Yishmol. That would necessarily, Rav Chista says, that would have to be, according to Rav Yishmol, v'noi shu Rav Yechon ben Breuka. Namely, according to the Chachamim who said before that the Ola is a present, so why shouldn't she bring an Ola Sa'if as well? Sure, her husband was made for her, she's not a Nazira anymore, but so what? You can bring an Ola anytime you want. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel is holding that even though, yes, usually you would say an Ola is considered a Doran, sure, a person can bring an Ola voluntarily whenever they want, but here Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the Ola of a Nazir is considered, Nazir Tomei, that is considered an essential part of his or her kapara. So he would have reason to say that in this case, you can't bring the Ola because you don't need the kapara anymore because the Nazirus has been removed. Now, the Gemara is soon going to point out in that case why you bring a Chatas in that case. A Chatas you certainly can't bring voluntarily. So that will get into in a few lines, but at least according to the Chachamim, we can understand why she's bringing a chatas for reasons that we're going to be discussing in a few lines, but there's no reason on the face of it why she shouldn't bring the oil, and maybe even conceivably the asham. But But on according to Rabbi Shmuel, it becomes easier to understand because according to him, essentially, all of the korbanos of the nazir are meant for his or her kapara. In this case, then there's no nazirus, as the Gemara is going to go on to say that the nazirus has been canceled by the husband. Therefore, so the chatas will have a special reason to say why she should be bringing, but the oila not. So we have to figure out my kasavar. Well, we have to figure out what is Rabbi, if we say this braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, then what is the svara? Why are we distinguishing? Now we're going to have in the next parak. We talked about this a number of times in the Dorim, but the actual sugya on this subject is going to be in the next parak. In a couple of blocks, we're going to be discussing the point. Baal miyaka okar or baal megas gaiz. But when we say when the husband is maker his wife's neder, or for that matter a father his daughter's neder, do we say that they're uprooting the neder as though it never existed, or are we saying that the neder existed until now, but now as of now it's cut off? So miyaka okar would mean uproots it completely as though it never existed. Megas gaiz would mean that it's cut off from now on. Until now there was a nazirus. In effect, now we're changing that, and now we're saying from now on there's no longer a nazirus. Well, so the Gemara says, so let's consider. If we're going to say, if Rav Chista is going to tell us that the braisa we just quoted about this woman who made a neder of nazirus and now her husband canceled it, so, and we're saying that Rabbi Shmuel would be the one who holds that she brings in that case the chatas, but not the oila, well, let's figure out. My kasavar, right? What does Rabbi Shmuel hold in terms of the husband's effect on the wife's nazirus, or neder in general? If he considers it, if he considers it that the husband uproots the neder as though it never existed, then there'd be no reason to bring a chatas ha'if either, because the chatas is not something that you bring voluntarily, it's something that you bring only when you're required to, and how could she be required if there's never any nazirus here in the first place? And if Rabbi Shmuel holds that the husband cuts off the neder, in other words, up until now it existed, but now we're saying from now on it doesn't exist, then she should have to bring the Ola Sa'if as well, because up until this point, when she became Tomei, she was, after all, a Nazir. Only afterwards did the husband cancel the Nazirus. So one way or the other, why is the Braisa distinguishing and saying that in this case she brings the chatas, but not the oil? So the answer is, la'olim kasava baal miyaka okar. In fact, we can answer that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we say that the husband, when he cancels the neder, we can say that he holds miyaka okar, he uproots the neder, and therefore it's as if the neder never existed. But Rabbi Shmuel, sava lakar Rabbi Elazar HaKafer. In this regard, Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Elazar HaKafer about, and we've talked about this a number of times, when a person becomes a Nazir, is it a good thing or is it not such a good thing? We talked about it also a few times in the Dori. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKafer Berabi Omer, Berabi or Beribi, as many times as it says in the Gemara, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe or anything like that. It means, really the word in many places in the Gemara is Beribi, it means that Rashi explains in a number of places, it means the greatest one of his generation. So he was a great Talmud Chacham in his generation, and he says, so therefore they gave him the title Beribi in token of that, and he says, Ma Talmud Loim Rav Chiper Olav Masha Chota Alam Nafesh. What does it mean? The Pasuk talks about a Nazir Tomei, and it says that the Kohen, he brings his Korbanos, and the Pasuk says the Kohen should make an atonement for him for the fact that he sinned on a soul. So, v'chib ezer nefesh chotazeh. Now, what soul did he sin with? I mean, okay, we are talking about that he became Tomei, but the expression asher chota al nefesh suggests that he did, Rashi elsewhere explains in Tainus, it makes it sound like he killed somebody. But even if not, fine. If you're going to say, the fact is, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that a Nazir brings his Korbanos Tumah, no matter whether the Tumah was Ba'oines, Shoigig, B'mezid, anything. So it could have been Ba'oines. He wasn't necessarily Chota then. It was something completely out of left field. And nevertheless, the Pasuk is calling him Chota al Nafesh. He sinned. What did he do? V'chiveh is a Nefesh Chota Zeh. Ella, so Rabbi Elazar HaKafer says, the problem is Shatsir Atzim and Ayayin. He troubled himself. He deprived himself of wine. So And then Rabbi Elazar HaKapra says, "V'kal v'chomer." In which case, if the pasuk therefore is calling him a sinner for doing that, then v'kal v'chomer. Then we can make a kal v'chomer from this. Uma is part of the next sentence. This person who only troubled himself by depriving himself of wine, because that's the only one that involves a physical pleasure. The cutting the hair is, a person wants to cut his hair every so often, but for 30 days is not a big thing. And becoming tummy and nestle, so there's generally no particular physical pleasure involved in that. In fact, we learned in the Nedarim that when we talk about whether a husband, b'chlal, whether he has the right to be mefer of a neder of nezirus of his wife, so we discussed the point that not necessarily you could say there is something involved. She wants to be able to become tummy and nestle because she wants to be able to assist when relatives or friends of hers pass away, so that one day when the same thing happens to her, people will help her. But it's not really directly inri nefesh. So the tzir, at any rate, what Elazar HaKapra was focusing on, that he troubled himself, that he deprived himself, is of wine. So he only did that, nikra choyte, and yet the pasuk calls him a choyte, calls him a sinner for that. So then hametzar atzmo kol davar, when a person deprives himself of many things, for example, when he's taking on himself voluntary fasts, alachas kama v'kama, then how much more so Rabbi Elazar HaKapra is saying, in short, that it's not good for a person to accept on himself voluntary fasts. Now, you have different other opinions about it in the Gemara and Tainus. You have a different opinion that says, on the contrary, a person who accepts voluntary fasts on himself is called a kodesh. Tosfos elsewhere points out, we learned in the Dardin, that even Rabbi Elazar HaKapra agrees there is a degree of a mitzvah involved. The fact is, the Nazir is called Kodesh, and you have psukim that imply that it is a good thing. But Rabbi Elazar HaKapra agrees that there is a degree of a mitzvah in it, but he's saying, on the other hand, the fact is there's also a degree of chet in it. There's also, it's not the best thing. We talked about it at the time, actually, there's a sicha where the Rebbe discusses that, you really have a few different levels a person can be on. You can have a level where a person, in fact, does need, they find that they're too much into taivus of this world, and therefore they need to take on themselves a neder in order to hold themselves back. Then you have a higher level where they can go to a chacham, and the chacham, where in terms of hataras nedarim, you can go to a chacham, and the chacham is matir neder. In avoida, that represents where a person is being taught by a chacham to be able to stay away from those things without needing to make a neder. And then you have an even higher level where he learns eventually to be able to use these things for kedusha and not need to hold himself back from them at all. Anyway, the point is that, with the Chacham, what it is the Chacham teaches him how to hold himself back without making a nether. And then the higher level is where he doesn't even need to hold himself back. Anyway, the point is that, the point is, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is holding like Rabbi Elazar HaKapra and saying, therefore, that that any kind of Nazir has committed to a certain extent a kind of Aveira. So now this woman made a neder of Nazirus. Yes, her husband canceled the neder. Her husband vetoed the neder, and we said that Rishmal would hold that the husband miyaka akar. He uproots it as though there was never a neder. Nevertheless, she still needs a degree of kapara, and for that is why Rabbi Shmuel would say in the Braisa that she's bringing the chatos because of that. So now Tosfos points out that it would be one thing if she hadn't become tamei, if she had remained taher and her husband
is Tosfos.
If she had not become Tomei, and if she had not become Tomei, and her husband had been made for her before she brought the Karbonis, fine, we would say that she needs a Kapara, but then the problem is that the Chatos that she would need in that case would be an animal Chatos. Now, unlike a bird, now the din is a bird Chatos you can bring ala sopik. So even over here, it's not really, we're not saying that technically, we're not saying that a person who became a Nazir needs to really bring, when Rabbi Elazar HaKapra is saying that we're calling him a choyte, he is bringing a korban, but after all, Rabbi Elazar HaKapra agrees, it's not the regular kind of thing where a person has done an outright aveira and is bringing a korban. This is more like, symbolically, we're saying that they should bring a chatas. But in general, we have the concept, when you have a suffix, when a person is in doubt whether they've done something that makes them chayav a chatas, or whether they were in a situation that requires them to bring a chatas, for example, a woman who miscarried and we're not sure what it was, then if it's a bird chatas, you can bring it ala suffix. So the din is you're allowed to bring a bird chatas even when it's only a suffix. But an animal chatas, no. So therefore, so if this woman hadn't become tamei, then the korbanos she's bringing at the end of her nezirus include a chatas, but that's a chatas of an animal. That kind you can't bring our suffix. So that kind you can't bring symbolically because of this idea of Rabbi Elazar HaKafir that it was wrong to take on the Nazirus in the first place. And we're not going to make up. We're not going to invent something out of thin air and say that in that case, let her bring an Chatas HaOif in that case. So in that case, then she gets away with no Korbanos at all. But here, when we're talking about the fact is she did become Tomei, one of the Korbanos that a Nazir Tomei has to bring is a Chatas HaOif. And the fact is, a Chatas HaOif you can bring even for weaker reasons, even for a suffix, for example. So Rabbi Shmuel can say, following Rabbi Elazar HaKafir's logic, that she has to bring a Chatas. So that, because it's only a Chatas HaOif. So that would be the logic. So getting back to the Gemara then. So the Gemara asks, "V'hab Nazir Tomei Ksiv." What do you mean? This pasuk b'chipper olam mashachot alam nafesh is talking about a Nazir who became Tomei. So how is Rabbi Elazar HaKafir extending it to any Nazir, even one who remained Toher the whole time? We're saying that we find elsewhere that Rabbi Elazar HaKafir is saying that even a Nazir who remained Toher is called a Chote. So how is that? If the pasuk is referring to a Nazir Tomei, the answer is. Kasavar of Elazar HaKafir is Nazir Tam and Torah Nami Choytu. As a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Elazar HaKafir does say that even a Nazir who remained Torah the whole time and successfully completed his Nazirus, nevertheless, he still considers him to be a Choytu to a certain degree. Vahainu Tain and Echtib ben Nazir Tomei, the only reason, according to him, then why did the Torah write this Pasuk by a Nazir who became Tomei, Hoyo Vashona Bechet, because he increased the Chet. In the sense that, so what happens, so Tosfos explains, the fact that he wasn't careful from Tumah, now that means the time when he's depriving himself is longer than it would have otherwise been. Consider, for example, the guy took on Nazirus for 30 days. So what should happen during those 30 days he's not drinking wine? That's bad enough. But now Rabbi Elazar HaKafir is saying, on top of that, what happens? Let's say 10 days into the Nazirus, he became Tomei, and then he has to bring Korbanos, and he has to start all over again. So now it comes out that there's much more than 30 days he's depriving himself from wine altogether. Now you have 10 days, then 7 days to become Torah, then another 30 days for his Nazirus. So altogether, he's depriving himself of wine for over a month and a half. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar HaKafir says, that is why there the Pasuk uses the word Ashechot Alam Nafesh, because he made things even worse by becoming Tomei. But as a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Elazar HaKafir would say that even if that hadn't happened, nevertheless, we would still call him a Choyte just on the grounds that he took on Nazirus in the first place, which Rabbi Elazar HaKafir says was bad enough. So that's one point. And in fact, we had in the Dorim also, we had something that the Mephoresh over there printed under Rashi said that in that case, the Torah could have told it by a Nazir Toher, and we would have made a Kavachomer to a Nazir Tomei, but we have a concept, Torah Nasakar Kolo B'Makorko. When somebody has already messed up, when somebody has done something wrong, then we attribute other not-so-good things to him also. So the same way, since the Nazir Tomei already did something bad enough by becoming Tomei, okay, it may not have been his fault, but it could have been his fault, because any kind of way he'd be Tomei. So then, already we're attributing to him. There we also use the word Ashechot Al Nefesh, even though it is true that according to Rabbi Elazar HaKafir, it applies to a Nazir Tohar as well. The Ran made another point over there in Nedarim when we brought the Gemara over there that he said the Shana Bechet means that he did two things wrong. That number one, he deprived himself of wine, and number two, that he became Tomei. Anyway, the point is that, again, so Rabbi Shmuel, B'nai Shmuel, Rabbi Yechim, and Breka holds like Rabbi Elazar HaKafir. Therefore, he says that in this case of the woman whose husband canceled her neder, it's true the neder is considered as though it never existed. Nonetheless, she still has to bring something for the fact that she took on that Nazirus in the first place. And since a Chata Sa'oif is something that you can bring voluntarily anyhow, not really voluntarily, but you can bring it not voluntarily, it's a chatas, but rather that you can bring it even for a weak reason, such as a suffix, then Rabbi Elazar HaKafir and Rabbi Shmuel will say, therefore, that you can also bring it for a weak reason, such as that there was a Nazirus over here, even though now that Nazirus doesn't exist anymore. There is, in fact, a lumdish thing from a Velvel Brisker, who says on this that even if we say Baal Miyaka Oka, we say the husband uproots the Nazirus, the fact is there still exists some semblance of it before. What it means is Baal Miyaka Oka would mean that the uh, that things that are not directly part of the Nezirus, but things that depend on the Nezirus, then it makes it as though it means, in other words, that the Hafara takes away the Neder as though it never existed, but nevertheless, the after effects of it still remain, and then you have the Oila Sa'if, the Chata Sa'if, therefore, is sort of an after effect of that, so therefore the husband's cancellation of the Nezirus didn't take that away, so that's reason enough to still be Machayev her in that now. But the Ola, on the other hand, he says, it is true that you could bring an Ola voluntarily, but nevertheless, there's no reason to, because the whole reason even to bring the Chatas is only because she, in that sense, the Pasuk calls her a Chote, the rest of the Korbanos. She's Potter from at this point, and therefore she's not bringing the Chatas off. Tosfos actually says, if we were to say Megas Gaius, if we were to say that the husband cuts off the neder from now on and up until now it existed, then actually we would say she would bring all three Karbanos. But because Rabbi Shmuel holds Miecha Ocher, that he uproots it, therefore, in principle, she would have to bring none of them, but we're still Machayev her in one of them as like a residue of it. Again, in the next parak, Bez Hashem, on the Fala Chafez, we're going to discuss this point in more detail of whether the husband is Miecha Ocher or Megas Gaius, what is his effect on the neder that his wife makes when he cancels it. Is he uprooting it as if it never existed, or is he only cutting it off that from now on it ceases to exist, but until now it did? So we'll have a discussion about that in a few days, Bez Hashem. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, and all this time we've been talking about a person who became a Nazir while he was in a Beis HaKadosh, and we had the whole discussion about to what extent is the Nezirus Chal right now and so forth. Then we said that if he goes out of the cemetery and goes in, then those days count towards his count of Nezirus. Now what that means exactly, that they count towards his Nezirus, there's a few different explanations among the Rishonim. Tosfos earlier on the Mishnah says, the fact is, if he's going to become Tomei, he's anyway going to lose all the Nezirus he counted until now. So in that sense, those days are not really going to count towards his ultimate Nezirus anyhow. If he took on Nezirus, let's say for 30 days, or any number of days, if he becomes Tomei, and brings the Korbanos, according to the Chachamim, he loses all of them. Only according to Rabbi Eliezer would we say that there can be times when he doesn't lose all of them. But according to Chacham, he always does. So what's the Olam Lamin Aminin? In what sense do they count? So Tosfos says it means it counts in the sense that now he's a full-fledged Nazir, and he's going to be bringing Korbanos Tumah, unlike previous time when he made the Nezirus in the cemetery, where he goes out of there, he doesn't bring Korbanos Tumah, as we learned in the Mishnah, as we learned in the Braisa, about a source for that in the Pasuk. The Rambam has a couple of different explanations of Olam Lomen Aminyan. He has one explanation in Kiddush HaMishnayis and a slightly different one in Yad HaChazaka that it boils down to. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, there are many different sources of Tumah that come from a mess, but not all of them require a Nazir to shave and bring Karbanos and start his Nazirus over. There are some of them that require him only to wait until he's Tahor and then continue his Nazirus from where he left off. So the Rambam learns that the Olam Lomen Aminyan is talking about over here. Let's say he was Tomei in the cemetery only with one of those Tumas that are not fully Daraisa, for example, only by touching a grave or something. And then in that case, then the days that he counted until now do in fact count towards his Nezirus in the sense that, let's say, so now 10 days after he became a Nazir, let's say he went into such a place, he is Tomei Mess. He does have to be sprinkled with Horadim or water, etc., but he doesn't bring Korbanos Tumah, and he doesn't lose the 10 days that he did until now. They still count, and he just has to continue another 20 days of Nezirus afterwards.
Why is that?
Because basically we're going to learn later on, because we're going to learn from Psukim, that there were only certain kinds of Tumas and Ames. We're going to distinguish between Tumas Shah Nazir Magalea Haleim, Tumas that are strong enough that a Nazir has to shave and bring Karbonis because of them, and ones that not.
And they don't have to start new videos.
They don't have to start all new videos. Yeah, that's how it is. We're going to learn from Psukim later on. The Rambam actually says flat out that the deal must be that any of the ones that a Nazir does not have to shave for are not actually Daraisa, they're only Darabanan. The Raivid disagrees on that. We'll get to that point later on. We'll get to that point later on in the Masechta, in the Nuns, we're going to get into that, about Thomas that a Nazir does or doesn't shave for. But yeah, we'll get into that in great detail. Anyway. So the Mishnah said Yotze v'nichnas olam lomin aminyan, that if he goes out of the cemetery and then he goes back in, then the days up until then count. So again, according to Tosfos, they're considered full-fledged days of Nezirus in the sense that now he has to bring Korbanos. And according to the Rambam, it means that if now he's only Tomei with a Tumah Derabanan, then he doesn't lose the days from before. So the Gemara says Katoni olam lomin aminyan. So let's consider. The Mishnah is saying that the days in between count, but where they count towards the Nazirus. But what does that mean? Even if he went in within 7 days of when he became Tameh, Mishum the Nichna, Mishum the Yotza Chal Alei Nazirus, what happens? Because he, what do you mean? Because he went out of there, Nazirus is Chal on him until he's still Tameh during the 7 days. So what are you saying? What are you telling me? The Mishnah is saying Yotza V'Nichna. So if he goes out and then goes back in, Olam Amin Aminian, so what does that mean? As soon as he goes out of there, out of there, he's Tahor, of course. Now he needs 7 days of tahara. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says when it says Yotze v'nichnas, doesn't just mean that he went out and then he went back in the same day or a day or two later. It means he went through the whole procedure. Kugenshi Yotze, he went out of the cemetery, the Hiza, was sprinkled the Torah Adumah water on the third day, the Shana, and repeated it on the seventh day, the Tobal, and Toibold. So now he went through everything that he needs to become Tahor from Tumas Nes,
yeah.
And then he went back in to the cemetery. So now, what we're saying is that the days from when he went out until he went back in count towards his nazirus. And the point is, we learned a couple of days ago, Tosfos said the fact that he's a tzvul yoim doesn't prevent his nazirus from starting again. In our case over here, again, remember we're talking, he became a nazir to begin with in the Beis HaKavanos. Therefore, he doesn't need to bring korbanos when he becomes tahor. Had he become a nazir, had he become a nazir outside the Beis HaKavanos when he was Tahor, then he would have to bring Korbanos first, and then according to most opinions that we learned before, according to all the opinions except for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he would have to wait till he brings his Korbanos to start his Nazirus over.
He wait till his bring his Korbanos before he starts his own.
That's how it is. So that's what we said. We said several different opinions of Tanoim on that subject, but yes, we had different opinions about that. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Elam nichnas hu de'olam lamin aminyan. Well, then let's consider. So what is the Mishnah saying? That only if he went back in to the cemetery, do the days until then count, lo nichnas in olam lamin aminyan. And what if he doesn't go into the cemetery, then the days don't count? Adrabah, then Adrabah, he's a Nazir Tahor, so he's so much better. And the answer is, lo midboya kamar. The Mishnah is saying one of those needless to say things. Loy midboya yosa. Needless to say, if he went out, meaning completely, he went out of the Beis HaKavanos and he didn't go back in on that day. Yotza, and again, Shmuel is saying that yotza means he completely went out of his tumah. And then the next day, or a day later, or 2 days later, or whatever, he went back in. Then for sure, the days in between count, and he has to bring a korban tumah. Ela afilo nichnas. But it means that even if he went back in on that same day, nevertheless, that day still counts as far as a korban tumah. In other words, let's consider. You have, so he was tumah mes. He was tumah mes when he became a nazir. He went through the whole procedure. The last thing he did is he was sprinkled on the seventh day, and he toveled. Now he's tahor, except that he's a tvuyah. Now, at that point, we're saying everybody agrees that his new nazirus begins again on that day. So now his actual 30 days, however long it's supposed to be of Nazirus, is going to begin on that day. Now, what happens later that day, he becomes Tameh again. The point is, now we still say that, nevertheless, he was a Nazir Tahor who became Tameh. Therefore, he's going to need to bring Korbanos Tumah and start his Nazirus over again. Now, we said in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, not, but according to the Chachamim, yes, he will have to do that. The Chiddush of it is that Tosfos points out, you think about it, we've talked until now about the idea of Mitzvah Sayyim Pekuloi, that we can say part of the day counts like all of it. But that's, we can talk about Mitzvah Sayyim Pekuloi at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. But here we have a chunk of the day in the middle that we're saying Mitzvah Sayyim Pekuloi. That's a big chiddush. That was saying, Udiyu that day, he was still Tomei from Tumas Nes, because he couldn't be sprinkled with Torah Adumah water until he could be sprinkled first thing in the morning. The Lachatchila after Netzachama, the Dieved, even after Alos HaShachar was fine. But at any rate, before that, the day began, he woke up that morning and he was still Tomei Nes. Later that day, he's Tahor from Tumas Nes, once he toibles. Later that same day, he becomes Tomei Nes again. Only there was a period of time in between, a couple of hours in between when he was Tahor. You wouldn't think that counts as a day of Nazirus. Nevertheless, we're saying it does count as a day of Nazirus, and therefore that, yes, he is going to be bringing, if it was a tumah, if it was one of the kinds of tumahs that a Nazir has to bring korbanos for, then yes, he has to bring korbanos for it. So that's the chiddush. So the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, Omru Lei Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, Rav, so Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who were Talmidim of Rav, they asked him, my time, Eloi Mefarshis Lon Kahol Emili. why don't you explain this? Why don't you explain this Mishnah to us? We didn't understand that point that the Mishnah is saying when it says that Yotze the Nichnas is telling us that whole Chiddush. So he answers them, Amrino, Dumaloy Tzvichitu. I thought maybe you don't need it. I thought you understood it by yourself because I thought that it's very posh to understand. But now I see you asking me, so obviously he needed to explain it to them. That kind of thing you have in a number of places in Shas where Talmidim ask the Rebbe that and he answers in a similar vein. So a Rebbe expects that his Talmidim are going to apply themselves and they should be able to figure out a lot of things on their own. If they don't, and they come and ask him, then he realizes that he needs to spend more time explaining it to them. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a loy boy by you. Rabbi Eliezer had said that if the Nazir becomes Tomei again on the same day that he became Tomei, on the same day that he became Tohar, so the scenario that we just drew out, where he became Tohar, he toibled and everything, and now later on that same day he becomes Tomei, then Rabbi Eliezer says he does not lose the previous days and he does not bring a Korban Tumah. So losing the previous days, fine, there's really no days to lose, but as far as bringing a Korban Tumah, Rabbi Eliezer is saying he doesn't do that. Shenema, when he said in the Mishnah, because the Pasuk says, by Yomim Rishonim Niflu, the Uriyu days should fall away, implying Achiyu, Yomim Rishonim, so that implies there has to be at least 2 days to fall away. So first of all, the Gemara says, Omer Ula, Loi Omer Rabbi Eliezer Ela B'Tomei Shenoza. This din that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, and this that he's learning from the Pasuk, is only when the person was Tomei when he accepted the Nazirus on himself. Which is, so again, the scenario of the Mishnah that we had back from Kesayin and Beis, where the person was standing in a Beis HaKmaris when he became a Nazir. Avo b'Nazir Tahar Shenikma, but Rabbi Eliezer would say that if a regular case where a person was Tahar when he accepted the Nazirus, and later on at some point during the Nazirus he became Tomei, then Rabbi Eliezer would agree, Afilu Yom Echad, even if he was a Nazir Tahar for only one day, Soiser, that he would lose that one day, and he would have to bring Korbanos Tahara and start his Nazirus over again. Omar Rava, in which case, Rava says, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. In that case, why would Rabbi Eliezer say that? Why would he distinguish between whether he was Tomei at the beginning or not? Because Omar Kroki Tomei Nizroi, because the Pasuk says that earlier days fall away because his crown of Nizirus became Tomei, which means Mishum de Vatuma Nazar. Only because, in other words, when is the Pasuk saying that you need Yomim Rishonim, that you need at least 2 earlier days, is only because Ki Tomei Nizroi, because his crown of Nazirus was Tomei at the time when he took on Nazirus. But not in the case where he became Tomei later on, when he was Tahar at the time, then that Niyot and the Pasuk would not apply, and therefore he would, in fact, the days would fall away, and he brings a Korban Tomei. But Esvei Abaya, says to Rava, I have a contradiction on that in that case. A Braisa says, Harini Nazir Meya Yoim, if a person says I'll be a Nazir for 100 days, the Nitma B'Tchilas Meya, he becomes Tomei at the beginning of the 100 days, on the first day, Yocho Yehei Soiser, you would think that he loses out the days thus far, and he has to start all over. Note, Talmud Lomar v'Hayomim Rishonim Yiflu, the Pasuk says the earlier days should fall away, which means Ad Shiyu Lo Yomim Rishonim, unless there have to be first days. So obviously this Braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Chachamim there's no distinction like that. They don't learn the Pasuk that way. This person doesn't have earlier days because you don't have 2 days, because he became Tomei on the very first day of his Nazirus. So in other words, the Braisa is saying that in that case, what would happen is he'll have to wait till he's Tohar from Tumas Nes, but then after that, he has only 99 more days to go. Continues the Braisa, Nitma B'Soif Meya, what happens if he becomes Tomei at the end of the 100 days, on the 100th day, Yochol Yehei Soiser, you would think that he should lose the whole 100 days thus far and have to start all over. Note, Talmud Lomar v'Hayomim Rishonim Yiflu. Again, the same pasuk says the Udiyu days will fall away. Mikhlal de'ika achroinim. That implies the fact that it says Rishonim implies that there are still achroinim, that there are still last days to go. V'zeh emay achroinim. This person has no last days to go because he's on the 100th day already. This is the last day of his Nazirus, and the next day already he'd be bringing his korbanos. So therefore, the Tana of this Braisa would hold that he does not lose the whole 100th day. Now, Tosfos points out that this Braisa, if we're saying that this Braisa is appointed of Eliezer, Then we did learn before that Rabbi Eliezer would say, after we learned a Mishnah a few days ago, that Rabbi Eliezer does say that if a person had a, that if a, that, that if a person does become tame late in his nazir on the last day of his nazirus, then he loses 30 days. So yes, when our Braisa says that he doesn't lose, doesn't it means he doesn't lose the whole 100 days, but he does lose 30 days, because Rabbi Eliezer, we said over there, learned from the word zois teras hanazir that when a person becomes tame on the last day, and the zois teras hanazir b'yom malois, that if he becomes tame on yom malois on the last day of his nazirus, then he has to have 30 days again. So if it was a regular 30-day Nazirus, practically speaking, it means he's starting over again. But if it was, let's say, in our example, 100-day Nazirus, then he's still 70 days that he had thus far. He's good. He only needs 30 more days. Continues the Braisa. Nitma b'yoy mea choser achas. Now, what about a third example? What happens if he becomes Tamei on the 99th day? You would think he shouldn't lose anything. Maybe you should say that he doesn't lose the days he counted so far. No, again, the pasuk says that Udiu days should fall away. Again, the cloud to Ikachronim, implying that there are still last days yet to go that he hasn't counted. Well, this person does have first days and last days. He has 99 days that he counted so far. He has parts of 2 days left to go because he has the rest of the 99th day and the whole 100th day. So now we can apply the pasuk by Yom Merishonim Yiflu. Even Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, is going to agree that he loses all the days thus far. Tosfos points out, by the way, now we learned before, according to Rav Masna, we said Miktas Yem Kekoloi. We said, in the first paragraph, we have the whole discussion between Rav Masna and Bapada about how we know that Stam Nazirus is 30 days. And we said Rav Masna says that it has to be 30 days. However, B'diyev and Machatchila, the Nazir should be bringing his Korbanos on the 31st day. B'diyev, he brings them on the 30th, as we learned at the beginning of our parak, he's Yotzeh Kuzmuth to Sayyid Kukulai. Nevertheless, the fact is, Tosfa says, given that Machatchila, even according to him, Machatchila, you are supposed to be finishing off that 100th day and bringing the Korbanos only on the 101st, then even Rabbi Eliezer in this Braisa can still consider that you still have Yom Mim left to go, namely the remainder of the 99th and the whole 100th. So now let's consider, says Abaya, V'ha V'tomei Shen Nozar. You can't possibly say that this Braisa is talking about a person who was Tomei when he became a Nazir. Because the first example, the first case in the Braisa is where he became Tomei at the beginning of the 100th day, meaning at the beginning of the 100 days, meaning on the first day of the 100th days. So in other words, before he declared the Nazirus, he was Tahir, and later that day he became Tomei. Vichatoni and Shiyulu Yom Rishonim. And still, the Braisa is saying, and this Braisa has to be according to Rabbi Eliezer, because the Chachamim don't hold this whole concept of Yom Rishonim. They don't learn the pasuk that way. So therefore, nevertheless, the Braisa is still saying, Ad Shiyulu Yom Rishonim, that only if he has Yom Rishonim, only then does he lose the days up until now. If not, then not. So that can't fit with Ula's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. I think Mara says you're right. Tiyukta, that's a clear contradiction, and we slug up Ula, and the fact is Rabbi Eliezer would say his din in all cases, whether the guy was Tomei at the time he declared his Nazirus, and then later on he becomes Tahir, or whether he was Tahir at the time he became Tomei later. Either way, Rabbi Eliezer says if he became Tomei on the first day of his Nazirus, then he doesn't lose anything because there are no Yomim Rishonim. This is, by the way, one of those rare cases where we pass in like a das yochid. Most of the time we say yochid v'rabim, aloch k'rabim. But in this case over here, because the Gemara, so one thing is, the Gemara has spent a considerable amount of time discussing what Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. So many times we have the rule when the Gemara does that, when the Gemara spends time discussing the opinion of a certain Tana, and here the Gemara is going to bring up even another point that we have to figure out within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. That itself implies the halacha is like it, and that's how it is over here. So the Gemara continues. So here's a question that Papa asked Abaya. When when Rebbe Eliezer is saying that you need days in the plural, yomim rishonim, holen yomim b'kamrinim, the days, the yomim rishonim that Rebbe Eliezer is talking about, do we mean the nofek chad and maschilin train? Do we mean that one full day has passed and the second day has already begun? So now if he becomes tomei on that second day, we already consider him to be that he has yomim rishonim, because he already had the beginning of the first day and part of today. Or maybe it doesn't mean that Rabbi Eliezer would say only if two full days passed and the third day began and then he became Tomei on the third day. But Rabbi Eliezer would still say maybe that if he became Tomei on the second day, he didn't even have one full day of Tara. Because after all, when you think about it, so Tosfos points out like this. We just said that at the end of the Nazirus, for example, he made Nazirus for 100 days, we said the entire 100th day has to be kept. Well, then we should say the same thing maybe by the Yom Rishonim. After all, if he becomes Tomei on the second day, not necessarily did he declare Nazirus at the beginning of the day. He could have declared Nazirus in the middle of the day, and then the rest of that day counts as a day of Nazirus, and the next day also. So we don't even have one full day from beginning to end that he was a Nazir necessarily. So how is it? Do we require that there should have been at least one full calendar day that he was Tahor? And that would require us to say, therefore, that there has to be, that it would only be if on the third day of his Nazirus he became Tomei or later. Or would we say, you don't even need that. As long as you have parts of 2 days, then that's already enough for Rabbi Eliezer to say that he loses the days from before. Tosfos goes into a bit of discussion over here that, now, there are various Mishnayos and Braises that on the face of it, the Gemara could answer it from. First of all, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer had said, Loi l'boi b'yoyin, that not if he becomes Tomei on that day, which seems to imply the next day that he would be Soser. Tosfos says that's not a proof, because since the Chachamim said in the Mishnah that if he became Tomei boi b'yoyin on that very day, he brings a korban, then Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell them not boi b'yoyin. Not necessarily would he say that even the next day would he be bringing a korban. Maybe, in fact, you have to wait till the third day. What about the brayso we had before about the 100-day nazirus? Okay, maybe tchilas mei. I mean, not just the first day, but also the second day. And also, since the Chachamim are saying that even on the first day he would be soiser, Rabbi Eliezer tells them that not. The Tosfos goes through a number of different braises and details over here that we should be able to learn it from. In that braisa before, also we said that if he becomes Tomei on the 99th day, he's soiser. But fine, because at least there you do have to have, it's supposed to be that the whole 100th day is supposed to be a full day of Nazirus. But yeah, if he brings his karbonus on it, then we say he can be yotze, but l'chatchila he's supposed to wait until the end of the 100 days and bring it on the 101st. So therefore, at least definitely, there's no question you have a complete day. But when it comes to the beginning of the Nazirus, again, he wasn't necessarily accepting on the Nazirus on himself. The first moment of the day. He could have done it later in the day, so you don't even necessarily have a full calendar day. Anyway, so that was the question. So, Loi have be a day, so Abaya did not know an answer to this question. Yeah, it happens. Also, Shaila l'Rabba, so Rav Papa instead went and asked Rabba, Amalei yiplu ksiv, the Pasuk says they should fall away. The Pasuk says yiplu ksiv, the Pasuk says they should fall away. So, in other words, as long as there's any kind of falling away, even if it's only the second day, then yes, even Rabbi Eliezer would say that he has to start all over again. On the other hand, though, it's interesting that the Rambam paskins that actually it means that he taka does not have to, that since the Rambam paskin, like Rabbi Eliezer, he paskins that he doesn't have to start over if it was the first day or the second day. So evidently, the Rambam learns the opposite of the way Tosfos learns. Tosfos learns that yiplu ksiv means mashma kol dehu. It's mashma any kind of falling away, as long as there's something that in the plural you can say fell away, then it would be good enough. But according to the Mefarish, actually printed in Rashi's place over here, said that it implies you have to have 2 days that fall away. So therefore, it would be that you have to have 2 full days. And the third day started, and the Rambam passed in similarly. So evidently, they understand, the Mefarish and the Rambam understand Yiplu Ksiv, Rava's answer, Yiplu Ksiv, to mean the tack has to be 2 full days, or at least one full calendar day, and part of another day that falls away for you to say, for you to be able to say Yiplu, and not before that. So the Gemara points out they have two different drushes over here. You have the word yiplu and you have the word yomim. So why do we need both of them? So v'itzruch lemichtav yomim v'itzruch lemichtav yiplu. The pasuk needs to mention both. It needs to mention the word yomim in the plural, and it needs to mention the word yiplu also in the plural.
But who do you turn to them? Who are you?
What do you mean?
Who are you turning to?
What do you mean? Who are you turning to?
To which person or which figure?
So you ask who the halacha is like, and then it's a hilchos of Mashiach. It's a halacha that will be relevant again when Mashiach comes. Right now we have the Rambam passing in Yad HaChazaka, and he's the only one who deals with these. He's the only one until the Aruch HaShulchan who deals with the things that are applicable only to the Moshe Mashiach. So he passed them like Rabbi Eliezer.
We all pass them according to the Rambam.
No. So when it comes to halachas that are applicable nowadays, many times we don't pass them like the Rambam. When it comes to halachas that are going to be relevant in the Moshe Mashiach, right now the Rambam is basically, for the most part, our only posik on those things.
Okay, good.
So therefore we follow him. But that doesn't mean lost in lover, when the Sanhedrin is reestablished, they may decide that way or they may decide differently. But yeah. Okay, payment. Okay. The Gemara goes on. It does have to say both yomim in the plural and the word yiplu. Because the e kasa rachmana yomim v'lo yiksiv yiplu, if the pasuk only said yomim but without the word yiplu, hava amina adenafkin train v'ayvim flasa, then you would think that it means that they have to tack the past 2 full days and a third one begin. And according to Tosfos's girsa, that's not so. Hagoyis habach, in fact, changes the girsa and says another girsa is the nafak chad v'ayvim train, that 1 day has passed and the second day has begun, which would agree with the Rambam and the Mefarish, who learned that it has to be that way, that it has to be 2 full days. So anyway, if it only said the word yomim, you would think that. Kasev rachmana yiplu, therefore the pasuk says yiplu to tell us to learn differently. The e kasev yiplu, but if it only said the word yiplu, like kasev yomim, and it didn't say the word yomim, hava amin afilu chad, you would say maybe the word yiplu doesn't even mean necessarily that it has to be a plural. It would just mean various people who become a nazir, that each one, yiplu, there are days of theirs that fall away, but 1 day per person, kasev rachmana yomim, therefore the pasuk says yomim to imply that you need 2. So again, the bottom line is, in other words, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, but how we understand Rabbi Eliezer's shita, that you have the discussion over here in the Gemara, and you have, in the end, you have a machlokes rishonim about it, according to Tosfos, you end up saying that in fact you do have to have all you have to have is parts of 2 days. It's enough, for example, they took on the Nazirus in the middle of the day on Sunday, let's say, and then became Tomei in the middle of the day on Monday, and then already that would, Rabbi Eliezer would say, Yiplu, the days fall away, according to the Mefarish, and according to the Rambam, no, you would only say Yiplu, the days fall away, only if you became Tomei on Tuesday, but not any earlier. Okay. Everyone.